Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome back, everyone, to Morning Magazine, part two on this September 8th, 2022. Your host, James J. Maloff here, and we are joined right now by our good friend, Matt Lippert from UW Extension, talking agriculture with Matt as he is the ag agent over there. And Matt, how have you been?
Good.
Very good to hear. Let's start right there, Matt, because I've got a couple of articles here that I was researching, looking over, finding some different things. I've done this with you every time we've gotten together. I have stuff that I bring, and I feel like none of it ever fits what you want to talk about. So what do you want to talk about, Matt?
Well, I'm all up for your free form. I think that's why you're finding things. But what I would talk about otherwise is just we're nearing the end of our cropping season, and people are happy. A lot of people are happy for it to be fall now. I've heard that, right?
yes.
How are crops and things in the farm going? And then I've been just I'm happy to be done with fairs now, but I did Marshfield. I was at Wausau. I was at Neillsville. I was at Medford. Was judging something at, well, I didn't judge at Marshfield because it's kind of the home court, but been busy with a lot of fairs.
That's actually where I wanted to start, because I know we're kind of hit the end of fair season now, but I know how busy of a time of year that is for you and people in the industry. A good year, considering with the fairs, things go pretty good, it seemed?
I think excellent, actually. Last year, there was like a big, 2 years ago, we didn't have a lot of fairs. Mm-hmm. A lot of them were closed. Last year, they didn't all close 2 years ago, and that was interesting, too. How did we manage to even have a fair during the quarantine for the pandemic? But last year, pretty consistently, we had fairs, but there was a lot of, renewal. Entry numbers weren't what they, you see that in everything. Well, are they up to what was pre-pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. But I think there was a lot of enthusiasm for it being a real fair season this year. So one event that I was involved with was the market animal sale in Marshfield, and there they had more animals. They had excellent prices. The gross, so they had a few more animals, but the gross was up $97,000. So all that money, except for a little bit of commission to run the event, goes back to the youth. So so not only did we have more animals, but we had better prices on the animals. And that's a pretty steep trend, And they did manage, even when there wasn't a fair, to have an auction, not during the fair, because these kids had raised animals. So there was an auction even during the non-fair year, but this is definitely more than pre-pandemic. It's a nice, strong trend. And there was other instances of that. I was involved with the Open Class Dairy Show. Numbers were up pretty much quite a bit from the year before. Mm. So some good signs.
A handful of friends that I talked to, one in particular had told me that they hadn't been to the fair in years. Then the pandemic happens, and not able to really have a fair or have the fair that we're used to. And it kind of got sparked the fire in them again. And they went this year to every fair they could. And I imagine
there is some of that.
They're not the only one. Imagine there's others out there, too. So even that kind of person, because I think we have a number of layers here. We have your person that's going to go to every fair there is, and certain people that will go to certain fairs. Having that kind of person, bringing them back, is been very cool to hear, too.
Yeah, they had, I wouldn't want to run a fair, but, there's different aspects of the fair. There's a carnival, and our fair for over a century, I think, had been Labor Day weekend. And then they found that they had a hard time getting the carnival booked that they wanted, and so they moved a week earlier. So I think we're on third or fourth year of that now. So that's a whole different world. The stage acts, the races, the monster trucks and things like that. Then our 4-H and youth exhibits. And I'd even separate them a little bit from some of the open class livestock. That's a little different group than the 4-H group. Used to be a lot of families that was their, they go to the fair as an exhibitor over Labor Day weekend. Mm. And I'm involved with the Farm Bureau. It's their fund, you know, they're a nonprofit, and they sell ice cream. And it's their fundraiser for the year, how they do at the fair. So there's a lot of different aspects to the fair. It's like touching the elephant a little bit. But, yeah, a lot of different positive effects to the fair this last year. Fairs are pretty expensive to run.
I can't imagine. I literally can't even begin to imagine how expensive. But all the more reason why they're happy to hear they're well-attended, successful, and, you know, looking forward to the next summer and the next ones and everything. I imagine they're already working on it. So,
yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I have two articles here that I want to touch on, both of them coming from brownfieldagnews.com. And this first one, and they're both local. This first one, Wisconsin crops are doing well, but a bit behind schedule. The USDA reporters saying 86% of the state's corn is in Dow stage, with 44% now dented. That's a week behind from last year, but only a day behind average. 78% of the state's corn is reported to be in from good to excellent condition. And also, 95% of the soybeans are setting pods, with 15% of the soybeans are turning color. That's about 5 days behind average. 78% of the soybeans are in good to excellent condition. So my question here is, now it sounds like that the crops are good. Everything's looking really good. Just a tiny bit behind schedule. That tiny bit to me, a layman, somebody who doesn't know the world that well, doesn't seem like that bad of a thing. It seems like, a week. You know, what harm can that do? How bad can that be? Is that the case, or is that something that is more noteworthy than I'm addressing as it is?
Well, we'll know the answer to that question in late October.
Okay, gotcha.
So, I don't know how to say this. The seasons have been going, the first strong frost shuts everything down. When I was growing up, the average first frost would be September 20th. That meant half the time it was before, half time is later. So we mentioned the fair. I remember a lot of fairs that it wasn't a hard frost, but that big round barn at the fairgrounds, you'd see frost up on the roof. The first day of September, very end of August. So if you get a hard frost and your crop is a week behind, that's you've heard of these million-dollar rains when farmers need rain. Well, frost can really be devastating. We have that issue with frost in the spring and apple bloom and strawberries and things like that. But this week behind, lately we've been getting that week. You know, we've been getting this longer season. And it's interesting when we talk about, is the climate is changing, let's put it that way. It doesn't seem like we feel it in the spring. The reason the crop is late partly is it went in the ground late. So, you know, it was either too cool or too wet. But it seems like in recent years, we haven't in a long while been hit with a September 20th, which used to be the average, frost. We're getting hard frost till the middle of October. And if that continues, week late isn't going to be any problem.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. Now, I gave you kind of what the USDA is saying here, some numbers and everything. Talking to a real live person in the industry, are you seeing a similarity to that? That the crops you're hearing good things about our crops this year, or again, wait until ask me in October.
So I read that same report. I'm actually a contributor, so I don't know how you get. I guess as an extension educator, I've been doing it for a long time, so
that's cool.
I'm one of the data points.
That's really cool, Matt. Actually, yeah. I think that's really cool. Whoa.
So I should say that. Fuel has been pretty expensive. We know that there's this event going on in fuel countries, Ukraine and Russia. And I was just listening to how cold is the winter going to be in Germany and things like that. This late crop may need to be dried more than normal because not only does it need to mature, which in corn is an event called black layering. That means that it physically got to full maturity. It didn't get frozen dead before the plant was ready. But then it still does some drying down. And if it gets to full maturity and then we get in this cooler, damper weather, it doesn't dry down as well. And so then, you know, we're talking about people after Thanksgiving, up to Christmas, out in the snow, combining this corn and having to take it to the dryer. And a little bit of using the dryer to pull just a touch of moisture off is pretty acceptable. But if it's a bunch, then it gets more expensive. And if fuel is more expensive, it kind of compounds that.
Yeah, I'm seeing that connection now. Thank you for laying it out like that. That makes a lot more sense to people like me that don't know the world that well. Interesting. We're speaking with Matt Lippert, UW Agriculture Agent with UW Ag, UW Extension. I got too many W's in there. we're going to take
We have a hard time saying it, too.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. I want to come back and stay local here in Wisconsin with a record that may happen. We'll talk about that with Matt when we come back here on Morning Magazine at WFHR. Welcome back to Morning Magazine on WFHR. It's 10:46 on the clock, and we're speaking with Matt Lippert, UW Extension's agricultural agent. Matt, one of the other articles that I came across at brownfieldagnews.com, and a shout out to Larry Lee for the article, Wisconsin might set a state corn yield record. Now, corn yields are expected to be down in many states, but not in Wisconsin. This is kind of fascinating. This is kind of interesting. What can we pick from this? What can we? And I didn't mean a pun in there, but what can we
picking take? The corn?
Yes. I see what I did there, and I did not mean to. But what can we take from this information?
So I wasn't, and I follow these statistics closely. I hadn't actually been aware that we were contemplating having a state record yield on corn. But I was very aware of that we expect national yields to be down.
Okay.
So why is national yields going to be down? We have a kind of a pervasive, larger, you know, there's a drought. You can go to the national weather and they'll do a map of the U.S. and they'll color it where drought is, and they'll do outlines where the drought seems to be getting worse, where it's chronically drought for like over years now or whatever. And the western, so the Corn Belt, which starts basically in Ohio and goes to Nebraska. So the western part of that, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas isn't a huge corn state, but western Iowa, parts of Minnesota, and then little parts of it, even in Wisconsin and other places, are in drought. And they had extreme heat. And I have friends in Nebraska, is a major corn state. Most of it is protected from drought by irrigation. But we're looking at a crop being trimmed due to excessive heat at pollination time, and just plants where it's extreme, if they don't have irrigation, you know, the plants are probably dead already. So so that's what's trimming the national yield. Wisconsin, we've had droughts before. We're a little more immune to some areas that we're usually worried about too much moisture in Wisconsin.
Why is that?
It's just the weather.
Just what we have.
Near the Great Lakes, you know, they all want our water now, too.
Location.
Right?
Yes.
So, so we do have droughts in Wisconsin, but not this year. So, and as your report earlier said, crops look really even, just a little late. So the reason we're and the other thing is there's a trend. It's a bushel and a half, you know, roughly there, increase in yield over 50, 75 years. We just nationally, if everything was normal, every year would be a record year because it'd be a bushel and a half better than the year before. Now, obviously, every year isn't that way, but there is this trend. So nationally this year, we're going to be behind trend because we're going to have less than the peak yield. But here in Wisconsin, we're pretty much on trend, record yield. Yeah. Now, one thing you didn't get in that article is I had some farmers talking to me, never seen so many soybeans planted. You know, we have a history of, since the founding fathers of growing corn in the U.S., but soybeans were a crop that's really, it's Chinese in origin. The University Experimental Services Extension introduced it. They thought they'd use it as a forage crop, not run through a combine and collect beans and make soybean meal and soybean oil. So I mean, it's not a new crop. In the Corn Belt, again, mm-hmm. it's a great complement to corn, so they've been doing it for decades and decades and decades. But in Wisconsin, there's been huge growth in soybeans last 50 years, and it's kind of, as you move more further north, so it's very noticeable in central Wisconsin that we're growing more soybeans. And it's cheaper to grow. It uses less fertilizer than corn. It's a legume, so it puts nitrogen in the soil that next year when you grow corn on it, you can purchase less nitrogen because the soybeans left that for you in the ground.
Yeah.
And then right now, soybeans are worth quite a little money. So that's another interesting story is we're just seeing an explosion of soybean acres.
That is interesting. So just wrapping this up, the USDA statistician Greg Bussler tells Brownfield the Badger State is ahead of the national yield average. Quote, our August 1st forecast for Wisconsin is 185 bushels per acre, which is a record for the state of Wisconsin. That's up 5 bushels from last year. Nationally, the corn yield is estimated at 175.4 bushels per acre. So to what Matt was just telling us there, that's why you would see a record in that it's not necessarily a shattering of a record as much as it is kind of just the way things, the trend of things.
So Southern Wisconsin's cool. A little better corn area than where we're at. Mm. And they did have drought last year. So they were behind trend last year. And normally Wisconsin, because we're on the north side of the Corn Belt, a lot of people wouldn't even consider us the Corn Belt, although right next door, Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota are. We, on a normal, if all things normal, we'd have a below average national yield. So this year, as you read, Wisconsin's expected to be 185 and the nation's expected to be 175. So we're going to have above normal national yield. So.
Very interesting. And then finally, I just came across this article out of the Wisconsin State Farmer, and it actually takes us to an interesting place, I think. There is only so much farmland in the United States, so when Russia's invasion of Ukraine last spring prompted worries that people would go hungry as what wheat remained stuck in blockade ports, there were little U.S. farmers who could do to meet the new demand, but that may be changing. Earlier this summer, the U.S. Department of Agriculture instituted new policies to encourage American farmers to begin growing two crops on one piece of land, one after the other, a practice known as double cropping. This is something that I do not know much about, and I didn't want to put you on the spot with Matt, like, and throw you a curveball here or anything, but I did find it pretty interesting. We don't hear this from the government very often of this kind of thing, and it just seemed like one of those storylines. I mean, the war's been going on for a while now, but I'm just hearing about this stuff.
Well, yeah, I follow Ukraine. I don't know why. I follow it a lot. Same so it's here, a great agricultural country. You know, that flag of theirs is the blue on top. That's the sky. And then they grow wheat, which when it's ripe has got that yellow color. Mm-hmm. Or they grow sunflowers, yellow color. So, you know, even in their flag, it's an agricultural motif there that it's an agricultural country. But one of their key crops is wheat. Now, if we look at Wisconsin, we do grow wheat here, and I think it's increasing. But we don't grow a lot of wheat. Wheat is the Dakotas, Kansas, Oklahoma. You've probably seen these stories about people that work for harvesting services, and you might be a 20-year-old, and you get on a combine in 1st of June, and you're down in Oklahoma, and you combine all summer into the fall, and you end up in Canada as the crop goes. So we don't do much double cropping here because of our short season. You know, we're doing well to get a crop in.
Right.
But I just read an article about a producer in Arkansas that was figuring out a way to get three crops in.
Jeez. Okay. All right. Wow. All right.
So, you know, this corn harvest, you know, you read that a lot of the corn is just entering dough stage, and the next stage is dent. But in the South, in Louisiana, in the delta of the Mississippi River, they're combining corn now. You know, the harvest has already begun.
Yeah.
And our harvest won't be 100% complete until December, you know. So we do some double cropping things. Wheat would be one. Wheat is harvested in July, and if you could turn around and stick soybeans in the ground right away, which is a classic double crop, you'll get a soybean crop. You won't get an outstanding one, but it's like a free additional crop. And so you mentioned Rachel Whitehair before, and you know she talked a lot about water conservation things. We're trying harder not to leave the land sit. We're trying to have a crop, or if it doesn't have a purpose, we just call it a cover crop, to have biological life going on in that soil. It's better, it's better for the soil. And so to, when you hear the president wants us to raise more crops, I mean, we had that in World War II. It was like, we got to feed the troops. We got to feed Europe. Yeah. So we're kind of in that thing. Let's be productive. And markets are strong. Markets for corn and soybeans and wheat are signaling that to farmers, let's make more of them.
I see. That's, that latter part is really interesting. That's very insightful. So again, this practice known as double cropping, by changing insurance rules to lessen the risk of growing two crops, the USDA hopes to significantly increase the amount of wheat that the U.S. farmers could grow every year. This is good in theory, it seems like. Is this even doable? Because you mentioned the short seasons we have here in that. It seems pretty, like, again, I'm a layman here, but it seems like a very difficult thing to be able to pull off.
Well, crop insurance, you mentioned that just at the end. That's an important tool for farmers. So it's, it's subsidized, all right? So not the full cost of the insurance is borne by the premiums that the farmer pays. But sometimes they have these rules, like here an example in Wisconsin would be, I want to grow corn crop, but I think I could sneak off, a perennial crop. I had my hay, my alfalfa or my clover and my grass that's been growing the last several years. I think I'll take a crop off right away in the spring in May, and I'll still have time to grow corn. And the rules have been, that do that all you want, but it's not insurable.
Oh, that is that seems like a pretty big catch.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that would be the same thing with wheat. You know, is if they can, if they can look at, you know, some of these rules they have, there's a reason. You know, oh, you're taking more risk, but maybe we want farmers to take those risks because it would be better for more yield or better for the soil to have crops in there more continuously.
Yeah, it's just. It's an interesting thing, and it's such an where we are in history right now with what's going on the other side of the world and this, how it affects us. And I'm a big believer in silver linings, and I hope that that war ends right now, like this second. I want it over. I want the people of Ukraine happy and better and all this stuff. But I do believe in silver linings. And to think of a silver lining coming of this being maybe for the person who thinks that we're all alone in the world, the person who thinks what happens here in America is all that matters, and like other things going on in the world that doesn't affect us, why do I care about that? We're all connected. Like, this stuff matters. What's going on in Ukraine affects us here. It feels very common sense, but there are a lot of people out there that don't seem to see this connection. We're all connected.
Because they've never heard of Ukraine before.
Well said. Very well said, Matt. Yes.
So how does that affect me? But I think your sentiments are great. We are all connected. It does matter. And hopefully, it's hard to see, but hopefully something good comes out of this. So.
Matt, when it comes to, it's going to be another month before we get to talk to you again and everything. If people have follow-up questions or they want to know some more about some of the stuff that we have touched on today, how can they reach you?
Yes. So the extension office is in the courthouse. You can just use your search engine and look up Wood County, UW-Madison Extension, and we'll come up. There's a phone number there. We have a directory of us, and there's email addresses. We have a Facebook webpage.
Yeah. It's an easy way to get in touch with you guys. Always appreciate the time, Matt. Thank you.
Thank you.
And be around tomorrow as we wrap up Morning Magazine for the week. In part one, we're going to welcome in our friends from the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. And the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau are going to join us after that. It's going to be a great show. We'll meet you here tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone. This is WFHR, locally grown radio.